questions about this man appeared and arose as soon as he showed up on the scene, stepping out onto the banks of the Jordan with John the Baptist. Questions about Jesus arose as soon as he showed up. People knew that he was the carpenter's son. They also would, from time to time, call him the son of Mary, which in first century parlance was a nasty way of saying he had no dad. People knew who this Jesus was, but when he showed up to be baptized and then started preaching, teaching, and ministering, they needed more than what they had. They needed to know who he really was at the depth of his being. They needed to know what he was about with his life. They needed to know his purpose, his mission, his ministry, the meaning of his life at its most fundamental level. They needed to know who he was. And not just them, not just the world, not just the people watching him get baptized when it happened, not just those people. John the Baptist, too. I mean, John the Baptist had baptized Jesus. He had already witnessed the Lamb of God's arrival on the scene. And according to the passages of scripture we have before, he was telling people, here is the Lamb of God. This is the one you have been waiting for. But when it came time for him to question, he was uncertain. John the Baptist already testified to this, and yet at the start of our gospel, he has the question. He still wonders who this man is. He still questions if he is the one he's been waiting for. In other words, John's asking Jesus, are you worth dying for? Because John the Baptist was in prison. Like most prisoners, he knows he's not getting out back then. He knew his fate. He knew what was coming, and so he needed to know if he had been waiting in vain, if he had been serving this God who returned nothing back. He needed to know if that was his reality or if this Jesus was the one to fulfill all his hopes and dreams. And so he sent the question through his disciples to Jesus. And seeing this strangeness, let's just slow down and pay attention to what happens next. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense to me. Six things he says that qualify who he is. John wanted to know Jesus's value. John wanted to know what he could get from Jesus. John wanted to know who Jesus was. John wanted to know if he was the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, or insert whatever theological category you want right there. John wanted to know if he had the right answer about this man. And Jesus said, look, I don't give answers in theological riddles. I give answers through my actions. And the actions that Jesus performed were world-restoring acts of liberation, healing, sanctification, a gentle touch that welcomed the leper and the blind. All six categories of those people that he said qualified his mission as the Messiah, all those people would not have been welcomed into the temple. Any affliction of your body rendered you unwelcome at the altar. Any affliction that you had in your body or mind would render you unclean. And so here is Jesus saying, I am the Messiah because I have come to those on the margins, the unclean, the forgotten ones. My messiahship, my worth, my value isn't based on an arbitrary title or name. Jesus is saying, Son of God, Lamb of God, those things matter not to me. His identity becomes rooted in who he was and what he did. It wasn't about what just resided on the inside, and therefore people ought to just pay him homage. He's saying, if you want to know if the Messiah has come, look at how the marginalized and the oppressed and the forgotten are being lifted up. Look at how I have made Isaiah's vision come true. Strength to the weak hands, strength to the feeble knees, saying to those of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. This is not salvation on the inside so that we can all get to heaven one day in the far future. This is the kingdom of God breaking open in our midst. It's the kingdom of God looking like the world has grown up, has answered the call to be faithful and holy. The kingdom of God making itself manifest among us. This is it right here, happening through Jesus and then happening through you. Today is the anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood, which for me ranks as one of the three most important days of my life. The other two are when my son was born and when I was married. And it's an opportunity to think back on what I have actually done. Being a professional Christian like me makes me no more faithful than you in your discipleship. Let's get that straight. I am not a better Christian than you because I get to wear these things. But I think back on my ministry and my life, and I ask myself the question, does it reflect this vision of Jesus? And suddenly it all becomes clear. Nothing we do really matters in our life unless it is rooted in this kind of goodness that makes the world a better place. And so I hope that the next 12, 20 years of my priesthood are years where I impress myself more closely to Jesus Christ, and you don't have to be a priest to do the same. This can be a moment right now where you too evaluate and recommit yourself to this kind of vision, where you're looking out for those who are cast out, where you're looking for those who have been excluded and forgotten, where you're looking out and lifting up those who are broken, where you are not just waiting for them to come into our church, but actively looking for the hurting and the blind to bring them in so they know their value. You can do that too, regardless of whether you are ordained or not, regardless of whether you are baptized or not. There's good work to be done making this world holier and more beautiful. So here on this, the third Sunday of Advent, the day of joy, as we approach Christmas, the day where we celebrate the union of divinity and humanity, where the coarseness of our flesh meets the smoothness of God and becomes something brand new. Today, on this day, when we approach such a feast, we are called to remember the man that Jesus becomes, a man of action, a man with his face set toward virtue and goodness, a man who sought out those on the edges and fringes of society, ensuring that they first recognized their sacred worth and value before he went to anybody else. So if you're looking for a way to make a difference this Advent season, or if you're looking for a way to make a difference this Christmas season, or just to change your life and make it to be about something more than it has been up to this point, if you're looking for that opportunity, all you have to do is just start making sure your life looks a little bit more like Jesus. Amen.